The Mass is the most beautiful thing this side of heaven. And that's why we want to understand what the Mass is, why it matters, and why we do some of the things that we do at Mass. Our Gospel reading last Sunday, today, and for the next few Sundays are all coming from the 6th chapter of John's Gospel, which is known as the Bread of Life Discourse, where Jesus speaks about the bread that gives life. And so we're taking this opportunity during these Sundays to reflect on the Mass, why it's important, why we do some of the things that we do, to try to understand the beauty that is present here at Mass. So last Sunday, we talked about what the Mass is and how we prepare for the Mass. So just by way of review, what is the Mass? The Mass is the thanksgiving and praise that we offer to God the Father. It is our worship, our giving thanks to God for the gift of life, for all the good gifts and things that he has given to us, the source of who we are. It's also the sacrificial memorial of Christ in his body. The sacrifice of Christ is made present on this altar. Through space and time, it becomes present to us at the Mass. And the Mass is also the presence of Christ in his word, in the person of the priest, and in the community, the body of Christ gathered together. We've talked about how the first part of Mass is called the introductory rite, and it's made up of the procession, the penitential act, the Gloria, and the collect, all of which have the purpose of preparing us for Mass. Remember that we need to be prepared for Mass because we are the first offering of the Mass. The first thing that we bring here to offer to God is the gift of ourselves, the gift of our lives. So we too have to be prepared to enter into this sacrifice. Today's gospel opens with the crowd looking for Jesus. They're looking for him because they've had their bellies filled. Remember last Sunday we heard about the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 with a few loaves and fish. So they're following after Jesus because of this natural need that they have to have their hunger satisfied, their physical hunger. It's a legitimate human need that we all have. But as human beings, we're not just physical. We are also spiritual. We are body and soul. So as our bodies need food, so do our souls. Jesus calls them on it. He says, "You're looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." Jesus meets them where they are, and he's about to move them deeper. He wants to move them beyond this recognition of their physical hunger to recognize that they have a spiritual hunger as well. He says, "Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." And the people there, they recall the miraculous manna with which God fed his people in the desert. We heard about that in the first reading today. And they want Jesus to perform a similar sign about food. And he says that he's not going to be content with just giving them food that will leave them hungry again. Notice that every morning, the Jews had to go out and gather the manna. It never truly satisfied because it was only about their physical hunger. But Jesus says he's not going to leave them hungry. He's going to provide a food better than the manna. The Father will give you the true bread from heaven. And then they say, "Sir, give us this bread always." And that asking for this bread is a turning point in the story. They recognize that there is something greater than physical food that they need. and that in Jesus there's something greater present, that he can offer them something greater than even what God gave their ancestors in the desert. And that's when Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." I am the bread of life. So what is the bread that Jesus wants to give? We're not quite yet at the full Eucharistic teaching, the teaching that the body and blood of Jesus is true food, that his flesh is true food and his blood is true drink. We're not quite there yet. What Jesus is speaking about here is himself. He's speaking about faith. He says that he is the one who has come down from heaven to satisfy this need. Believing in him is this food that he will give to us. My friends, we are body and soul. As our bodies need food, so do our souls. And we can ignore that fact. We can deny it, as many, many people do, and try to live our lives without feeding our souls or feeding them with things that will never truly satisfy them, so that we just have to add more and more and more and never be satisfied. Our spiritual survival depends on us taking in Jesus into ourselves the same way that we take physical food into our bodies. And that's why the whole first part of the Mass is made up of hearing God's word. The whole first part of Mass is a reflection on faith, on the food that doesn't leave us hungry. The table set for our nourishment at the Mass is the table of both the word of God and the body and blood of the Lord. The liturgy of the word, the first part of the Mass, is not something we pass through just to get to communion. The scriptures are the living water from which we all have to drink. It's the Holy Spirit, it's God's Holy Spirit that makes what we hear in the liturgy of the word mean something to us. Words that were written thousands of years ago are given new life by the Holy Spirit, and they're relevant for the 21st century. Because we want to receive this gift during the liturgy of the word, as we talked about last weekend, we prepare ourselves to hear God's word proclaimed in the first part of the Mass. So let's take a look at the liturgy of the word and what it's made up of. The liturgy of the word encompasses the scripture readings, the readings from the Old Testament, the Psalms, the letters of the New Testament, and the Gospels. It also consists of the homily, the profession of faith, and the universal prayers, or the petitions. And the first reading at the Mass is almost always taken from the Old Testament. The only exception to that is during the Easter season when we read from the Acts of the Apostles. So for most of the year, we hear in the first reading from the Old Testament. Why is that? It's because we believe that the New Testament lies hidden in the Old Testament, and that the Old Testament is fully understood in the light of the New. We believe that Jesus is the center of all of the scriptures, so that we can look back into the Old Testament and it helps us to understand what we hear in the gospel reading. Notice today is a perfect example of that. How we heard in the first reading about the manna that came down from heaven. And then Jesus speaks about that manna in the gospel. And it helps us to understand what Jesus is saying. It's because he is at the center, the kernel of all of the scriptures. Then we sing the psalm after the first reading. And the psalm is very intentionally chosen because it corresponds to the first reading in the gospel. It helps us to reflect more deeply, and it's called the responsorial psalm because it's our response to the first reading. It helps us to go deeper into the mystery of the first reading. And the psalms were written to be sung, and that's why we sing them during the Mass. Connects us back to our Jewish brothers and sisters in the history of our faith. As the liturgy of the word moves along, it reaches its high point during the gospel. So if you notice, there are many things that surround the reading of the gospel that sort of give it greater honor. So we sing the Alleluia before the gospel. That Alleluia in its verse is a way of greeting the Lord. It's our greeting to him as he comes to speak to us in the Gospels. When the deacon is present, he carries the book of the Gospels into the church and places it on the altar. We have a special book just for the Gospels because they contain the teaching of Jesus, the story of his life and his saving work. So we honor that story with its own special, beautiful book. We have candles that accompany the reading of the gospel. Again, remembering that Christ is our light. Sometimes we incense the book of the gospel, and the deacon or the priest always kiss the gospel after they read it. Of course, a sign, anything that we love, we honor with a kiss. And the priest or deacon prays to himself silently as he does that. May the words of the gospel wipe away our sins. It's the role of the deacon at the Mass always to read the gospel. The deacon is entrusted with the proclamation of the gospel. At his ordination, the bishop puts the book of the gospels into the deacon's hand, and he says, "Receive the gospel of Christ, whose herald you now are." So it is the proper role place of the deacon to read the gospel at Mass. And when there is no deacon, the priest does that, because the priest is first ordained a deacon, and he retains that mission of proclaiming the gospel. And likewise, only the deacon or the priest can preach at Mass, because in the Mass, the priest stands in the person of Christ, the priest, and the deacon stands in the person of Christ, the servant. So it is an integral part of the sacrament of holy orders, not only to proclaim the scriptures, but also to interpret them, also to apply them to our daily lives. So we notice that when our seminarians offer reflections, they always do that after communion, because they do not yet participate in the sacrament of holy orders. The sacrament of holy orders is integral to the part of preaching at the Mass. And then everything that follows the reading of the gospel is in a way a response to what we've just heard. So first, the homily. The homily seeks to make the scriptures relevant to our daily lives, to the lives we live right now. It serves as a bridge between the preaching of the word and also of the liturgy of the Eucharist. In the instructions for Mass, we're told that the homily should neither be too long nor too short. How's that for an ambiguous instruction? The only person I know who thinks that my homilies are too short is my mom. I don't think she's an objective standard. So we try not to go on too long, though I do realize this homily is going on a little longer than normal. So the homily, as I said, is meant to interpret the scriptures for our daily lives. And then together we stand and we say the creed. The profession of our faith is a response to what we have just heard. Remember that the bread that comes down from heaven is Jesus. So we make a response to what we have heard by proclaiming and professing our faith. And finally, then the universal prayers, the petitions, where we pray for the church and the world and our particular community and the needs that we bring. The universal prayers are the priestly prayers of the people. So all of you, by virtue of your baptism, share in the priesthood of Christ. So you are then offering those prayers as a sacrifice, a priestly offering. We offer ourselves and we offer our prayers as priests at the Mass. So there we have the whole first part of the Mass, our preparation in the introductory rites, and then our hearing of God's word in the liturgy of the word. We remember that we are all spiritual beings and that our souls need the sustenance of faith. And so the words of the crowd in the gospel today should be words that are always on our lips as well. Sir, give us this bread always.